AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. The soy complex was under heavy pressure at the end of the week, with soybean meal and oil pulling beans to the downside. That dragged corn down even as wheat futures pushed to the upside. The cattle complex saw heavy selling ahead of the cattle on feed report, while lean hog futures ended the day mostly higher.
Live from a job that couldn't survive without a speaker via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Jamie Kawaki from Paragon Investments. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chap Lowry.
God bless the engineers. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, that's right. You see what I did there.
Yes, I did. Yes, I do.
Couldn't do it without the speakers.
Yep.
Welcome indeed.
Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. What a way to wrap up the week. It left me scratching my, as I'm getting ready for the conversation with Jamie, and I kind of gave him a warning about, you know, we're going to want to go over some of what you're thinking about from a chart or technical perspective. Mm-hmm. Plus, we're going to want to go through the fundamentals of the markets. That's as far as we took the prep conversation. But I'm looking at it, and at the end of the week, we got beans 20 cents lower, corn, call it close to steady, penny to 2 pennies lower, and wheat higher. Really? We've just kind of decided to all three markets to trade on their own here at the end of March. We got poorly grain stocks. Mm-hmm. We've got
prospective plantings coming up.
Prospective plantings report next week. You would think that there would be some joining of hands, I guess, and moving in the same direction at the same time.
Yeah.
But not really. Not really, these markets.
That's not what America's about anymore, bro. Get with the times. Sorry.
You know, I think that's exactly right. Had a cattle on feed report.
Ooh, yeah.
This afternoon. So let's get to the details of that. Wow. This is a big miss. The trade was looking for a 6.4% increase in the number of calves placed in February. I'm looking again. Placed during February, 1723 a year ago, 1890 this year.
Oh.
That is a 9.7% increase over year ago. So placements blew the expectations out of the water. Marketings in February up 3.4%. The trade was looking for a 3.8% increase. So you get the heavier placements than what was expected in the inventory on March 1, up 1.31%. The trade was looking for a 0.9% increase. So maybe a little bit negative.
Okay. All right.
Maybe. We'll see what Jamie thinks about it coming up here in just a bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do that.
You ready?
Yeah.
Let's get to the markets.
Okay, I think I'm ready. Wheat futures shrugged off spillover pressure from the soy complex and pushed up to a high range close. May soft red winter wheat futures opened higher, fell back to spike support at yesterday's low, then pushed higher. The European Commission is considering a round of tariffs on Russian grains and oilseeds to offset export incentives from Moscow, and that could slow the flow of Russian product into the European market. Weather conditions in the United States are also creating headlines. A snowstorm in the northern plains and cold temperatures in the central plains could put some of the winter wheat crop at risk to winter kill. July HRW wheat futures 9.25 cents higher, 584.75. July SRW wheat up 7.5 cents, 569.5. July spring wheat closed at 665.75, up 4.25 cents, Chip.
Big week for the winter wheat markets. July SRW futures up 25.5 cents. July HRW futures up 25 cents. July spring wheat futures up 12.25.
Huh, how do you like that? Well, corn futures tried to build on yesterday's gains in the overnight session, but trade above 440 in May futures was basically, once again, rejected. May corn has been pivoting around the 440 level since March 8th. Corn did attempt to rally after word from USDA that Mexico purchased 173,000 metric tons of U.S. corn for delivery in the current marketing year and 90,000 tons for delivery in the 24-25 marketing year. Rain in Paraguay and Mato Grosso do Sul, Brazil, relieved stress on the Safrina corn crop, but much more rain will be needed to get the second corn crop to maturity. Heavy selling pressure in the soy complex provided spillover pressure on corn futures. May corn futures were a penny and a half lower at 439 and a quarter. July corn down 2 cents to 452. December corn futures closed at 475 and a quarter, down 1 1/2 cents, Chip.
Yeah, chopping all over the place in the corn market this week. But at the end of the week, July corn futures up 3 cents. December corn futures up 4 1/2 cents.
May soybean futures opened a penny lower and on session highs, then ground lower throughout the session to close near session lows. May soybean meal futures also posted a high range open and a low range close. Bean oil futures remained on the high of the day and closed on the low of the day and at the lowest level since March 12. Bean oil also made a new low for the week in today's trade. Yeah. South American weather continues to be a day-to-day factor for the soy complex, but most reports are price negative. Most areas of Argentina have enough soil moisture to support crop development. May beans were 19.5 cents lower, 11.92 and 1/2. July beans down 20 1/4 to 12.05 1/2. Novi beans closed at 11.87, down 17 1/4, Chip.
Yeah, there was some product spreading that took place in the soy complex this week. July bean oil down 171 points. July soybean meal up $4 a ton. So it kind of left beans caught in the middle of everything. At one point today, both November and July beans were dead steady on the week. As things finished up, July soybeans this week down 7 cents, November soybeans down just 3 3/4 cents.
Well, July cotton futures stair-stepped to the downside this week and ended near the low of the week. July cotton is looking for support at the March 4th low of 91.81. July cotton down 41 points to 91.85, Chip.
Yeah, July cotton on the week down 174 points.
Well, on your livestocks, live cattle futures remain locked in a sideways trading range this week, and today posted a high range open and a low range close ahead of the monthly cattle on feed report. April fat cattle were 87 1/2 lower at 187.50. June futures fell $1.60 to 182.90, and April feeder futures were down 3 12.5 to 251.50. Chip, what's it look like for the cattle's on the week this week?
Yeah, April live cattle on the week up 25 cents.
Okay.
Kind of all over the place and up 25 cents. April feeder cattle on the week down 62.5 cents. And real quickly, the morning trade on the heavyweight choice box beef was down $2.18 a hundredweight to 311.55, and movement was slow. So that was a little disappointing for that cattle trade today, too.
Indeed. Well, and finally, on the snout side, April lean hog futures closed lower each day this week as traders narrowed the premium futures hold to the cash index. April lean hogs, 32.5 cents lower, 84.57 1/2. June hogs, up 40 cents at 99.70, Chip.
Yeah, the bears were chopping wood in the lean hogs this week, dude. Just kept at it. And when everything was said and done, April lean hogs on the week down $2.35. Okay, recapping. Placements in February up 9.69%. Marketings in February up 3.4%. Inventory up 1.3%. We'll get Jamie Kwocki's take on what that cattle on feed report might mean, and we'll take a cruise through the rest of the ag markets today on AgriTalk.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
That ought to make the Chicagoland fans happy, right?
Yeah, they'll like that. They'll beating up on those, like poor, those poor Floridians down there.
Yeah, the Florida Atlantic team down there. That team, we were just talking about it during the break. That team basically was the same team as what they had a year ago. And Florida Atlantic a year ago went to the Final Four. Surprised everybody. And Northwestern, well, Florida Atlantic fought back, got the game to overtime, and then in overtime got beat like a stolen mule. Maybe a rented mule. I don't know. It might have been stolen, you know, the way that they got beat, because good grief, it ended up Northwestern won that game by 12 points. Crazy.
I wonder if you can still rent a mule.
It's madness.
It is absolute madness.
That's what it is.
And if you got a tip on mule rentals, maybe just pipe in. Let us know. Hit us with a tweet or something. Is that a thing?
You bet. Of course.
Because I'm not going to buy a mule, but I'll rent one.
I know a guy that I can rent a mule from for a 12-pack on any weekend I want.
Done deal.
Done deal. That's right. That's right. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us on this Friday afternoon. Jamie Kawaki, Paragon Investments, is our guest analyst. How you doing, Jamie?
Not too bad. How are you?
Doing real fine. Real fine. Before we jump into the markets, give me your thoughts on this cattle on feed report. Inventory on March 1 up 1.3. The trade was looking for something closer to just a 1% increase. Is it a little negative?
Yeah, it's negative for sure. I don't think it's going to be a $2 or $3 move, but it looked like a lot of it was probably factored in today. And the opening calls do look to be lower come Monday. But I think the key will be to kind of shuffle this out, you know, the first couple hours Monday morning, see, you know, what the cash looks like, you know, with Good Friday, no trade on next Friday, and to see if we can hold these record highs still or not. But, you know, the market, you know, has some pretty good length in it right now. Managed money the longest they've been since last fall. And they just really, like you said there earlier, just been stuck in this trading range since the first part of February.
Yep. Is the cash average cash bid going to get to a record level this week?
Yeah, I think we'll see those numbers Monday, but it will be, it looks like a record in the South at 188, you know, some 191s, real lightly 193 in the North. But yeah, awfully, awfully solid. We'll see, you know, dressed, you know, it's up around 303.
You know, that could be it. I mean, they may throw their hands in the air and say, that's it. That's all we wanted to do was see a new high, right? That's something we got to be aware of.
Absolutely. You know, you get these bullish, you know, cash figures, then you kind of throw a wet blanket with the cattle on feed report. Now, do we kind of go back into a, you know, sell the rallies type deal like we saw all last fall? Yeah. Fundamentally, the market, I think, is still stable. You know, the numbers are tight, but the Packers obviously have cut back. Load count, you know, the cutouts has slowly slowed down, nothing major, but this time of the year, we should be able to crank these up, you know, with the grilling season right around the corner.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Jamie, I barely even want to talk about this. I'm afraid to mention it, but I'm going to, because it's something that we got to be aware of. And I haven't seen any sign that the Packers are starting to lose some shackle space or are thinking that they're going to force a slowdown and therefore cut their demand for cattle while maintaining demand for beef. I haven't seen that really happen yet. Have you?
I have not seen that happen at all yet so far. I mean, I think, you know, they were a little bit nervous midweek. Had, you know, clients sell some cattle early this week for next week delivery. And they called and said we're coming a week early and getting it. So I think they're pretty much hand to mouth right now, you know, trying to weather this, you know, storm out or not, you know, with the positive basis now with cash versus futures.
Yeah. And then take a look at what's going on with the weights. There are so many things. I was saying this about the grain markets earlier, but you can say the same thing about the cattle market and the hog market. There's so many things that make you scratch your head. The average carcass weights right now are just booming.
Huge.
I know there's big demand for prime and choice beef, but we got to be close to 80% prime and choice right now, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. And like you're saying, these are some heavy, heavy cattle. I mean, you go back and just look at 20 years ago, you know, 1,200 pounders in the norm. Now we're up around 1,700, you know, so obviously we don't need the big head count that we might have had to have, you know, 20 years ago with these heavy weights.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So you've got a guy that's finishing cattle. I don't care if he's a feedlot guy or a farmer feeder. He calls you up and he says, Jamie, I don't have any downside protection in place right now. What are you going to give this guy some ideas on what he should do? Write it out or get something in place?
I like having something in place on cattle right now. It seems like, too, we kind of run into a black swan about every 6 to 8 months with cattle. Fundamentally, I think the market's okay, but I just like having, you know, a put underneath the market for protection. If you get something, you know, an outside market wipe us out or something like that, even here after the market's closed today, a theater concert hall in Moscow blowing up with terrorists. Yeah. And kind of sold the stock market off and hasn't done too much to energies or currencies, but who knows what could happen over the weekend with that and all the other sectors. But yeah, I like having a put underneath the market and just so the
rug doesn't get jerked down.
What's that?
Are the puts affordable?
Yeah. On the live cattle side, for sure. The feeders, they are a little more expensive where you could go in there and you like sell a call, you know, deep out of the money to cheapen it up. The live cattle puts, yes, they are very affordable.
Yeah. You know, the start of the week, that cash feeder cattle up in South Dakota went to $3 on 7-weight black steers. And I thought, you know, that's going to be it. It's not going to do much more. And then the 6-weight heifers at the end of the week are bringing 2,100 to 2,200 a head. Dude, I don't know where the end is on that market.
Yeah, I agree. I was talking to a couple of clients about that today as well. And is this 2015 all over again, you know, longer term or not? And, you know, banks obviously are going to be cranking down again very, very aggressively. And, you know, in these feeders too, you look at the index, you know, 251 and change. And that's pretty much right where the April board is. So, I mean, is all this priced in here short term or not?
Right. Okay. Get some protection in place. Use the put options. You don't want to just go with a futures hedge because that thing could chew you up in a hurry, couldn't it?
Right. And, you know, extreme volatility here in these feeders and you get caught up to there. The cash may not keep up. And like you're saying, you get caught wrong 10, 15 bucks at feeders pretty easily.
Yeah, that'd hurt. That would hurt in a hurry. Okay. What's your overall thoughts on hogs?
Hogs, nearby April, we're just having trouble with the index, cheaper by about $3. I do like buying breaks in the hog complex. We've had a nice little kind of technical sell-off. We held yesterday's lows today. I would look to be buying into that sometime next week. I think we can take the summer months out to, you know, 105, 108 area. And just looking for a pretty solid, I think, early spring to late spring rally.
Does the structure of that market make sense to you? It seems to me the index is too cheap, the April hogs are too cheap, and the July hogs at that, where were they? They're like at 102, something like that?
Yep.
July hogs at 102 makes sense to me.
Correct. I agree. I think the April hog future should be closer, you know, that 90 mark. You know, pushing the May up around that 94, 95, you know, let the index, you know, kind of chase it up from there. But fundamentally, you know, I like where the hogs are right now. You price them against cattle. I think there's still some short-term upside in the hog complex. And, you know, still, you know, thinking we can retest those highs that we saw a week ago.
Yeah. You know, both on pork and beef, talking the packaged cattle and hogs now, the demand is just, it's been unbelievably resilient through some rough patches in the economy, hasn't it?
You're exactly right. You know, you go to a grocery store, you spend $100 and it lasts about 3 days. And, you know, you're still seeing the nice cutouts being moved and even some counters being a little bit short bought. You look at prices like, okay, this was full 3 days ago and now we're buying again.
Yeah. Okay. So down five times this week in lean hogs, the April, you said you like buying some dips in here. Is that enough of a dip?
I would be buying the dips out in the summer, like the June and or July, you know, going out there kind of like in the June, I'd be around that $98 mark. And in the July, if I was going to try to get long in next week, I'd be right around the dollar mark, you know, looking for a retracement back to the highs that we saw last week.
And if you've got risk in the cash hog market, you want to just kind of let it ride now?
I would let it ride right now. You know, if you could get, you know, that July hog somewhere back, say 104 area, I would probably look at a put then. But I'm not too concerned here short term on the hogs.
Gotcha. Good stuff. We are in the middle of a conversation with today's guest analyst, Jamie Kwocki, Paragon Investments. Wow, we spent that whole time on cattle and hogs. So when we come back, we're going to jump right into the grain markets. We'll do that with Jamie next here on AgriTalk.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. For July, hard red winter wheat futures were 9¼ cents higher, 584¾. July SRW wheat up 7½ cents to 569½. May corn futures were a penny and a half lower at 439¼. December corn futures closed at 475¼. That's down 1½ cents today. May soybean futures 19½ cents lower, 1192½. November beans closed at 1187. That's down 17¼ today. July cotton was down 41 points to 91.85. On your livestock, April fat cattle 87½ cents lower at 187.50. April feeder futures were down $3.12½ to 251.50. April lean hogs 32½ lower, 84.57½. Go to tryprofarmer.com for more.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. We're in the middle of a conversation with Jamie Kwocki, Paragon Investments. You watching the tournament, Jamie?
Yes, I am. Just watching Marquette come back and take the lead again here right now.
Is that right? Yep. I would like to see a little more resistance from Stetson, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not against UConn.
It's going to be a tough one. 8-0 right now.
Yeah. No doubt. Are you pulling for the home team? Who you got in the final?
I got North Carolina and Tennessee and North Carolina and Houston, North Carolina winning it all.
Oh, jeez. Again? You can do that for them again? It's time for some new blood in there. Let's get those Cyclones in there. Let's go now. Come on.
I would be happy with that for sure.
I know. All right. Yeah, I can't help myself. I just can't mark them down to lose the game. And so it, you know, it screws up my bracket pretty much every year. But here we go. Here we go. Okay, let's talk about what's going on in the grains. And before we get to any specific market, just is there an overriding theme to the grain markets right now that are kind of that is kind of guiding your thoughts?
You know, probably the big carryouts longer term, you know, having concerns about, you know, selling in any type of sharp rally unless we have, you know, dire weather. And does that even matter per what we saw last year with these great genetics that we have now? But we've had, you know, obviously a bounce. We've advised, you know, some old crop sales that weren't cleaned up to take advantage of that. But we got a big kind of bounce off the feds this week with their announcement of about a 0.75 point cut through the rest of the year. And ever since that, we've kind of just seen some long liquidation by specs that have, you know, kind of tried to bottom pick these last lows again. But yeah, the carryouts especially are concerning to me. Do the funds, you know, stay short even all the way through planting season if there isn't a major weather scare? And, you know, can we get back to that $5 Dease corn mark? Can we fill that gap November beans or not? And, you know, give us some decent prices to sell into.
Okay. Do you believe that Fed speak of 0.75 point cut this year?
No, I think it's going to be really, really tough. Yeah. You know, inflation, I think, is still very rapid.
Yeah.
And to me, the inflation numbers are probably twice of what they actually are. If you throw in insurance prices, you know, some other factors that they don't add into their equation, I think you're at least double from where we are now. And plus, an election year, I don't have, you know, cut, you know, 0.5 point this fall, you know, with all that rhetoric and heat coming from, you know, the opposite side. But to me, maybe one in June, that's going to be it.
I don't even know if they're going to be able to do that, Jamie.
Yeah. I think it's tough. I don't think they should touch him this year. I think we wait and see, you know, what happens post November and, you know, look and see, you know, where the inflation numbers are there. There's still plenty of work to do to get that contained.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, it's not like you're going to go to the core consumer price index and see this even a 5% or 6% inflation rate. But when you take everything into consideration, just the cost of living,
yep, it,
you know, putting food on the table and putting gas in the tank and some entertainment on the weekends, and the affordability of this stuff is just it's crazy. I think that's one of the reasons that beef demand is holding up as well. I don't want to spend a whole lot more time on it, but it's one of the reasons that beef demand is holding up as well as it is. It's still an affordable luxury that people can do at home.
Absolutely. And I think that's the only choice right now. You know, like you're saying, $3 plus fuel. And do we want to go sit at a restaurant, you know, and pay double from what maybe we could do it at home for? And it's just kind of one thing after another with these high prices. You know, and going back to what I said there earlier, it's insurance prices, even on vehicles. I mean, pretty much double what they are now pre-COVID. And it's just one bill after another.
Yep. That's right. That is absolutely right. One bill after another. Okay, let's get specific now. What's the charts telling you on corn?
For like December corn, penny and a half lower today, outside day down. You know, kind of hugging right now the 21-day EMA, which I kind of watch very, very closely. Okay. I still think there's some upside here short term. 485 is my next target. See if we can get some short covering ahead of next week's big report. The ultimate target would be up near the 200 daily moving average, and that's right above that $5 mark. But we're going to have to see something positive come Thursday to really, I think, get the funds to want to, you know, get aggressive on the short covering side.
Okay, so Thursday, I'm going to ask this question with the quarterly grain stocks report in mind. Is there anything happening on the demand side of the market that could lead to a surprise with some smaller than expected grain stocks?
Well, exports have been very, very solid. We had a fresh sale again this morning, running above the pace that we need to be at. Ethanol numbers are very, very solid. So I would look at that side of the ledger right now.
Okay. Yeah, ethanol demand is holding in there too. I mean, they're making money making juice.
Yep. So, the exports have been solid. And so, yeah, I would look at that side of the ledger. Probably not going to see a big change on the animal side with the feed there. But, yeah, exports and ethanol is where I'd look for the bullish side to come from if there is one.
Okay. Prospective plantings report comes at the same time. What are your thoughts on corn acres?
I don't think we're going to see the 2.5 million less than what is projected right now. I think you're probably closer to 1.5 million to 2 million. I think most guys are going to stick with the normal rotation. Yeah, we're going to see more bean acres, but I think the corn, there's very, very small chance of seeing a 2.5 million shift right now, unless something drastic happens this spring.
So you're thinking somewhere in the range of 92, 92 and a half?
Correct. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Okay.
You know, especially too, I mean, even get a little bounce here in this corn, planting goes occasional, you know, decently. I just don't see us losing a whole lot of corn acres.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then in your opening comments, at the start of the last segment, you basically said, listen, if you've got old crop stocks left in the bin, you should probably be using the bounce that we've had to get caught up, right?
Absolutely. You know, we've seen this little technical correction. You know, we always come back and re-in on paper out in, like, you know, July and or September contracts. But yeah, I would take advantage of this. Usually this time of the year, you know, basis historically is better with, you know, guys starting to plan here next month, obviously, and not a whole lot of grain moving. So take advantage of that.
Okay. What's your thoughts on the new crop marketing?
New crop marketing, those numbers there I mentioned there, ultimately, you know, the 502 mark in December corn, 485 would be the short-term target there, and maybe the 485 mark next week, depending on, you know, do the funds want to get aggressive on the short side of the mark or not, you know, taking off those positions that they've had on since last fall very, very aggressively. But over the bean market, November beans kind of look like red and mule per se today with the outside day down. Looked awfully good, you know, since the Fed report and, you know, got slaughtered here today. Not reading a whole lot into it. Supposedly some, you know, maybe too much rain down in Argentina, some damage there. And also too, funds don't have record short on, but very, very close to it again right now. But the numbers I'm looking for November beans would be up around that 1235 mark. I think you have to be a very aggressive seller there. Then even up to 1243, where that gap would be filled at.
Okay. Perfect. Anything on the demand side of the beans that could give us a surprise in the grain stocks?
That's a good question. I would say as of right now, no. I mean, obviously the exports have been pretty pathetic. Right. You know, based out of, you know, cheaper prices down in South America. Maybe the crush would be about it right now. Saw a lot of spread action with that this week. Buy the meal and sell the oil.
Right, right. Okay. And then on the acres?
Acres, I think you probably will see, you know, probably 1.5 to 1.8 acreage increase. I think a lot of that is already into the market. Those numbers have been talked about for quite a while.
Yeah, but that's not going to be negative on new crop beans.
Nope. No, I don't think so either. And I think, you know, obviously we're going to need more and more bean acres year after year after year, you know, after, you know, these plants start to get online and get going. It's just a matter of time when, you know, we see 90 plus bean acres or not.
Yeah. Your level of confidence that we're going to need that crush capacity, is it still high?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Maybe not here short term, but I think longer term down the road, big time.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that mine is too. My confidence is high on that as well. But I'll tell you, I've been getting more and more questions about it, which makes me think that people are losing confidence in this renewable diesel story, in the sustainable aviation fuel story. I think for the most part, they're just growing impatient, right?
I think you're exactly right there. It's like we see all this policy talk and all these meetings and stuff, and it's like, let's see some action. You know, we're done with the meetings, you're done with the conferences. Let's get to work now and get it started. And I think that's what everybody's fed up with.
Yeah. Okay. 30 seconds. Anything on wheat?
Wheat, we're still getting support from Ukraine and Russia. Odessa got bombed a few times this week. Funds cut short. Yeah. Looking for more of a short covering type rally, pushing that like July Chicago up around 585, and the KC wheat market above 6. Could be some freeze damage. The wheat height down here is barely boot top high, and looking for lows in the 20s next week.
Yeah. Yeah. It's vulnerable yeah. to those temperatures that are going to be coming in. Something we're going to have to watch awfully closely. Man, take a bow, Jamie. Touch them all. Good work, sir. Thank you. Great work there from Jamie Kowacki, Paragon Investments. All right, it's time to wrap up the week. Davis and I will do just that when we come back with more AgriTalk.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here with Chip Flory on your Friday, Chip.
I'm here, baby.
He's here.
I'm here.
Great conversation with Jamie Kowacki.
Can you believe how fast he goes through things?
Yeah. He knows his stuff.
Oh, it's just... Check it off. Yeah. That's cool.
The comment was made at some point here, if we're talking about cattle traders, eventually they're going to throw up their hands and decide, we got to get out. It's too much. This is the end of it.
Well, type of deal. Yeah, what we were talking about on that was the cash market, and will it get to that new all-time high? I shouldn't say, well, when it gets to that new all-time high. If that is confirmed on Monday, the question then is that all that the trade is looking for? Once you get to that point, has it done all that it needs to do? If that's the case, that's when they throw their hands in the air. You put the final wrap on the hooves, throw your hands in the air and say, that's it. We don't have to done all we need to do. If that's the case, then some of the bullish momentum comes out of the cash market. If the bullish momentum comes out of the cash, it's got to come out of the futures.
That makes sense.
But the cash fed cattle market and the cash feeder cattle market, I think, are going to be two very different animals at the end of the price strength.
Even if
it's just because the high, even a short-term high in fed cattle, is going to be driven by demand concerns about beef. Are we going to be able to continue to sell beef? The feeder cattle market, we saw the placement numbers, in February came in higher than expected. We're just pulling those animals forward. You know what? I shouldn't have said that. I did not look at the weight breakdown.
I was going to say, if they're heavier, are we pulling them forward?
Yeah, I did not look at the weight breakdown on them, and I don't have time to do it on the fly right now.
Yeah.
But it suggests to me that maybe we were pulling some of the calves forward in February. If that's the case, because it's not like all of a sudden we made more calves. We can import a few more from Canada. We can import a few more from Mexico. But it's you know, enough to make that big of a difference. I think it's, you know, they're just moving their calves on feed, not cattle on feed.
Yeah.
Is what I think is happening.
Let me ask you this. Maybe this is a dumb question.
I'm sure it's not.
Over the years, we've talked about seed genetics. You know, we talked about the corn crop. Without a, you know, it's not going backwards.
No.
Yields are not going backwards without the outside influence of the weather or some kind of crop problem or something like that. Generally, a crop who is well-fed and nourished reasonably well does well.
Oh, yeah.
When you talk about how carcass weights are heavier now, is there, I understand there's got to be fluctuation from, you know, here and there. As a general trend, are carcass weights headed higher and will continue to head higher, or is this aberrational that we're seeing here now? You see the connection I'm making there?
Yes, I do. I do. They may have pushed the carcass weights a bit, but generally speaking, the trend in carcass weights is up. We might not have to be 20 pounds above a year ago, but the trend is still going to be up. And we've seen a big enough of an increase that maybe we do stabilize for a period of time. But, Davis, a lot of this, now, if our cost of gain keeps coming down, then that's going to help carcass weights. And I'm looking at corn, I'm looking at meal, I'm looking at yardage, I'm looking at all that stuff. If the cost of gain is soft going forward, that's going to contribute to heavier weights. The box beef market, the choice graded box beef, if it stays strong, and by that I would mean $300 plus, then the packers are going to be maneuvering in a way to make sure that, you know, if Joe's feed yard needs another 2 weeks on feed to make sure that they're at least 80% choice and prime, we're going to delay that yard. And Frank over here has got an 80% choice and prime yard ready to go, so we're going to take those calves now. So we'll make the phone call, and he wasn't supposed to come for 2 weeks, but we're going to take them now. So they're going to continue to work angles like that.
Okay.
But it's also consumer driven. It is, because the consumer learned to like good beef. And that is choice and prime beef. You got to put the weight on them.
Yeah.
To get them choice and prime.
And I go back to earlier this week, we had the caller CR from Missouri. Hello, CR. With his two-plate ribeye, you know? Now, it sounds like he's getting them cut pretty thick.
Yeah, 2 inches.
Nonetheless, it does sound a little Fred Flintstone-ish. I just wonder if we're just growing giant cattle now, and that's just the way it's going to be.
Well, the genetics are going to are facilitating these heavier weights.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise me if we don't start to moderate just a bit. Okay. Just a bit. Man, this was a fun conversation today. Good stuff, Davis. National Weather Service 6-10-day outlook. We've got below normal temperatures for March 28th through April 1. Most of Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, and points to the west of that. Near normal to the east of it. Above normal precipitation expected over the rest of the Corn Belt. What a great week. We had a lot of fun this week. Come back Monday morning. Emily Score from Growth Energy and Machinery Pete. Have a great weekend.